T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The flagship station for your Boston Red Sox.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This next hour of Live BP is brought to you by McFarlane Energy.
Bradfo and Steve!
It's time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ball net done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradfo and Peralt on EEI.
Here we go.
19
Let's go. Games to go, Steve Peralt. 19 games to go.
Let's go.
Okay. It's Live BP Baseball Show. That's Steve Peralt. I'm Rob Bradford. What are you talking about when we say here we go?
It's just like, here we go with the show. Yes. Here we go. Show's on.
I feel like you're easing into this. It's not like you're jumping in like head first. You're like,
no, I'm excited.
Here we go. I said 19 games. Shouldn't that like send shivers down your spine?
It does. The shivers are going down my spine right now. No, I'm excited. I mean, I was doing some math and checking out.
I love math.
We're obviously going to talk a lot about the wild card standings, but I was checking out, you know, where the Red Sox are going to stand coming forward here after this White Sox series, the Mariners series. Basically, where are they going to be at when they're hosting the fierce Orioles next weekend? Who just knock off the Blue Jays? What is up with the Blue Jays? We're going to talk a lot about the Blue Jays.
I'll give you credit.
I got ahead of this.
I give you credit.
Bit.
You were ahead of the curve with
I'm
the Blue Jays.
You, watch out for the Jays. And was talking with my dad about it. He's like, I don't know, you know, not fully sure. And I'm telling you, the Jays. Watch out for the Jays. And they. But then, what was last night? What was that all about?
Okay, let's reset. Ready? Yeah. Ready for a hard reset?
Reset.
So, we should make note, in just a mere matter of minutes, we're gonna honor something that is the most important thing today, really, is honoring the 9/11 situation and remembering what happened that day. And we're going to do that in a little bit of a unique way, where we have Mike Brenly calling in. Brenly is a bullpen catcher for the Red Sox, been working for the Red Sox for a while. Also the son of Bob Brenly, who was the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks when they played the Yankees in the World Series. And I was reminded of this once again because you see a lot of the videos of George Bush, President George Bush, throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium, which will go down as the best first pitch probably ever, right?
Yeah.
All things considered.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
No, watching that pitch back, and I was checking it out before when I was talking to you that Brenly was going to be on the show today. I watched that pitch back. It could not have been better. It was perfect, especially for he's got the whole jacket on, right? You know, it's got to be cold out. What, that's around, that was November at that point? And
he did own a jacket, unlike Garrett Richards.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, but those are always kind of big jackets. Anytime the president's
not easy.
There,
it's like shooting hoops with a hat on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And coming from me, I'm a veteran at throwing out first pitches. I did it in Bourne about a month ago. And it's not easy, Rob. I'm telling you, it is not easy being up there. And that was in front of like 1,000 people. I can't imagine being in a packed Yankee Stadium for that, and trying to figure out, you know, how you're going to throw that pitch. So yeah, it was impressive, and we're going to have Brenly on the show to talk about it.
All right. Well, he's calling just a mere matter of minutes, and I think actually Stiz is like, he's doing Stiz, two shows
Stiz,
at once.
Yeah, Stiz's Stiz, mic
you
is
have
still
your
on.
Mic on Stiz. While you're answering the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thanks, Stiz.
I thought I was going crazy. I'm like, what am I
hearing?
Well,
listen, people got two shows for the price of one. There you go. So Mike Bradley's actually on the line. We were just talking about him. Mike, so Stiz, if you could pull up Mike for us, that'd be great.
There we go.
Mike, live from Chicago, getting ready for the big game. Mike Brenly on Live BP along with Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt. What's going on, Mike?
Well, guys, I'm a little down in the dumps today. Ohio State just went down to the Ducks. So, yeah, it's a rough start to the day, but Red Sox win will pull it all out.
Nothing cheers anybody up, Mike, more than having an appearance on Live BP Baseball Show. And by the way, if you don't mind, Mike, I'm going to tell tales out of school. Mike actually was the first uniform personnel to come up and said he enjoyed the show. So
that's big.
Yeah,
awesome, Mike. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I love the show, you know, when you're cleaning up after twin daughters and vacuuming and laundry and all the daddy chores I get to do. It's a great time filler.
Well, put it on the bumper stickers. We're a great time
that's
filler.
That's what we aim to be.
So, Mike, we did a little bit of an intro before you came on. Obviously, you know, your dad was right in the middle of things when President George Bush threw out the first pitch. We've seen a lot of that video today, the World Series, and it made me think, oh, you know what? Mike might probably was there if I'm doing the math right, 14 years old, right? Correct?
I was a freshman in high school that year.
Okay. So if you could take us back to where you were, how your dad felt about the situation, because if you go back and watch that clip, and this is just a small part of the entire story of the aftermath of 9/11. But if you go back and look at that clip, you know, your dad is one of the first ones to greet President Bush when he comes off the mound. What do you remember about that?
That whole day was kind of weird. You know, obviously it was the first game in New York. You know, the World Series, there's all kinds of buzz, and you know, we were up to nothing going over to New York, so we had a good feeling going about us. But just the whole feel of being there, you know, old Yankee Stadium, there wasn't a whole lot of room to walk in the tunnels. It was very, very tight, you know, kind of like Fenway, older ballpark, you know, not a lot of the new amenities. But, you know, walking to the dugout and the batting cages and stuff, there was the normal security, there was normal people around. And then I'd say probably an hour or so before the game, you walked out of the clubhouse and it was jam-packed wall-to-wall with special agents and cops and anything you could think of. And there were rumblings that he might be coming, but obviously no one knew for sure. So it was just kind of weird. And then all of a sudden there were all those special forces and everyone in there. So you kind of had an idea he was coming, but it still wasn't confirmed. And then, you know, obviously when he got there and walked out to the mound, I think, you know, if you didn't get chills, you might want to check your pulse, because, you know, just everything that we had gone through over the last month since September 11th and, you know, being back in New York on the biggest stage of baseball, and him to walk out there and put his thumb up like, you're not going to bring us down. It just, you got chills, you know, you couldn't help but get chills. And then he throws a little two-seamer comebacker on the outside corner. And, I mean, it just, the whole thing was awesome. And just to see how, you know, brave he was to go out there and do that, it was a really cool moment in that World Series. And it came from just a terrible, terrible place. But, you know, it was a really cool experience.
Yeah, I think that's a key point there, where it ends up being a really good pitch. And obviously that's what we remember. But you look at some of the other pitches and it's like, my goodness, it makes him look even better in that situation. I want to take a further step back, though. What was the vibe like in New York City and up there near the Bronx, just around that World Series? Because we obviously knew what happened on September 11th, and that World Series felt different. And I think if a lot of people would have had it their way, the Yankees would have won that. Obviously, the D-backs go on to win it. But what was the vibe like that night in New York City?
Like I said, it was just kind of eerie. You know, obviously the excitement was there and the energy was there, and Yankee Stadium, it was jumping. But, you know, it was just kind of an eerie feeling. I still think there was probably a lot of people thinking, should we be playing baseball? You know, or is this kind of out of the ordinary? But, you know, for a lot of people, it was a good escape. It was, you know, 3 to 4 hours of an escape from just the tragedy that happened. And, you know, when we got to New York, we had our, you know, pre-series workout and the day off, and they approached the Diamondbacks and said, hey, we're going to send a couple vans over to Ground Zero. And anybody that wants to come is more than welcome. You know, you guys do with that what you want. So, you know, my parents came to me, obviously, as a teenager and said, hey, listen, this is completely your decision. My dad was going to go, and they said, you know, you might see some stuff that's life-changing and life-altering. And but if you feel like you want to go, then we'll support you. If you don't, we'll support you on that too. So, you know, I had to go. And just going with my pops and some of the other guys on the Diamondbacks and just seeing the faces and smelling the smell of everything still burning a month later. And it was life-changing. I'll never forget it. You know, and I met all those firefighters and just the look on their face. And, you know, they looked so happy to have the Diamondbacks there, even though we're the Yankees rival at the moment and all that. But just to kind of get something out of the ordinary of digging and looking and digging and looking. And, you know, it was it's something I'll never forget. And I actually was able to get my hands on a firefighter helmet. So I had all the firefighters sign it for me. You know, everyone calls athletes heroes and all these, you know, movie stars heroes. But those guys and women, what they did, and, you know, those are the true heroes. And, you know, just I still have that helmet at home, and it takes me right back to being down there at Ground Zero and all that. So it was a weird feeling around New York, but it was something that, you know, I think that everyone needed that World Series.
Mike Brenly, bullpen catcher for the Red Sox, son of Bob Brenly, former Arizona Diamondbacks manager, talking about that day those days immediately after September 11th, when the Diamondbacks played the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, in those days around that. And Mike, you know, it's funny because you're 34, and I'm looking at it like, okay, you know what, you were only 14. And now you have all these guys in that clubhouse now, and it's hard for an old guy like me to get my head around this, that a lot of these guys really, it doesn't hit home for them like it does for you, like it does for me, like it does for Steve. When you wake up this morning, do you look at this day? Do you look back to all the things that you're telling us about? And also, do you think that guys in there really understand the importance of today?
You know, I was watching a bunch of shows, you know, the last couple of days. Every network has had, you know, different 9/11 shows and documentaries and all that stuff. And, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, 9/11 is this kind of generation's Pearl Harbor. And it really is true. You know, it's something that, like you said, if you were of age to remember that, what was going on, you know where you were, you know what you were doing. But I agree. I mean, there's a huge generation of kids and young adults and people that, you know, we, you know, need to kind of enlighten them on just what happened and how it changed our everyday life. I mean, before 9/11, I don't even know if there was TSA. You know, you just walked on your plane. You could take your family to the gate and sit with them before their flight. I mean, everything changed in that moment. And now the world is how we know it today. And it just, like you said, it's kind of on us, our responsibility, just like, you know, the earlier generations with Pearl Harbor, to let us know about where they were and how they felt and how it affected them. And, you know, everyone kind of has their own feelings and their own emotions about 9/11 and what it means to them. But, you know, I think we'll never forget where we were, what we were doing, or how we felt when it all was happening.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this question. But in 2001, I think myself included and basically everyone else thought the Yankees were going to win that World Series. And so the Diamondbacks, you obviously being around the team, the D-backs end up winning it all in Game 7. We all know how that went down. I don't even know how to say it. Was a weird feeling being like, oh, the whole country doesn't want us to win this, but we did, and in the fashion you did against Rivera. Did it feel different because of that, or was it still, I mean, it still had to be, hey, we're World Series champs, but did that change any of the feeling at all?
Absolutely. You know, we all kind of said it in the clubhouse and all of the other things, like, it's us versus the world, boys. You know, it is us versus the world. And, you know, I think that the only other fan base that we had on our side, ironically enough, was probably Red Sox Nation. Yeah. You know, I think everybody else, just whether you love the Yankees, whether you hated the Yankees, just what the city went through, what those players meant to that city, what it would have meant for them to hoist the trophy. But, you know, I think them winning those three games in New York was exactly how it was supposed to happen. You know, obviously that was heartbreaking for us. You know, that is still to this day one of the quietest plane rides I've ever taken from New York back to Arizona after Game 5. I mean, you could hear a pin drop for 6 hours back to Arizona. And it was, you know, like you said, people were pulling for them, and we kind of had that underdog mentality kind of the whole postseason. So for us, it was, hey, we feel terrible for the New Yorkers. We feel terrible for all those people there, but we're trying to win a World Series. We've worked our butts off to get here, and this is our time. And, you know, we're with you as Americans, but we're going to go ahead and try and win this thing as bad as we want it.
All right, Mike, we know you got a game to prepare for. There's a Live BP t-shirt on the way for you. Whenever those are made, you'll be the first to get it. But we really appreciate you taking a couple minutes here before the game, and because it was great stuff. And really, really, like you said, I think it's important to get that message out about what that feeling was like. And to do it via baseball is, I think, also a powerful way. So, Mike, thanks so much, man.
No, I appreciate you guys. Anytime. Love to jump on whenever you need some time filler, I should say.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Take care.
All right. That's Mike Brenly of the Boston Red Sox, bullpen catcher, and also son of Bob Brenly, former manager of the Diamondbacks. Wow, that was great.
That was awesome.
That was really good, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because you mentioned him being 14 and if the players on the current team, because it's funny, the older you get, but like the more you get removed from an event like that, you remember where you were event. In your mind, you still think everyone else kind of has a similar, it's like, no, they don't.
Don't you think 14, so how old were you?
I was 11.
So 11 probably was right
close
there.
Close to the cutoff.
Right in the cutoff.
In middle school.
Because 11, you probably didn't even feel it.
Like, but that's the thing. It's like, I remember, you know, them announcing it over the loudspeaker that planes had crashed in the World Trade Center. And you kind of just, as a kid, you don't know what, I didn't know what terrorism was. I didn't know what a terrorist attack was. You assumed, oh my God, that's, you know. It was cloudy or something. You had no idea. It wasn't until then, you know, your parents pick you up where you see the looks on their faces like, oh, something terrible happened. And from Mike Brenly's, perspective there with the Diamondbacks, it is a good point you make where it's like, I do wonder, because again, we all take in these
Connor
events.
Connor Siebold is not.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We all take in these events. We remember exactly where we were like it was yesterday. And we think that the people around us have similar experiences, but it's like, oh, right, you weren't old enough. There is a cutoff, and I think it's around that 10-11 mark where it's like you probably don't remember it if you're
because
younger.
It's Steve Peralt, because you're the absolute best in the business of breaking ground down videos,
yeah.
Interviews.
I can break down videos.
You can break down videos, too. Man,
if you need me, I'll break down some footage.
The all 22 of that interview?
Yeah.
But before you do that, I will give you one of my biggest takeaways from the Mike Brenly interview, which is, from a parent's perspective, you know, Bob Brenly says, you know, listen, you're bringing, and this is another thing I don't think people understand, to bring anyone to New York City then was sort of a risky proposition.
Absolutely.
And you don't know what is going on. We were just talking about before in the air, like we both had the same image of if you saw a plane in the air in that week after, you're freaking out because no planes were supposed to be in the air.
It was after 9/11, it was like a lockdown feeling for a while.
Yes.
Where you'd go to school, you'd come home, probably you're going to work, coming home, and you're just kind of looking over your shoulder the whole time because you're constantly thinking more things are going to happen. It's not just the day. You still think, like, is this our life now? Is it like every month is there going to be like an attack on the States?
And there was one of the things that I always remember is there was a big thunderstorm like a few days later. I think it was that weekend after. And it sounds so ridiculous probably to some people, but this is the mindset. There was a big thunderstorm and I thought you thinking, here come, they're bombing us.
Yeah.
They're bombing us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But everything about that.
Anything close to it, you were assuming the worst. And like we mentioned with the planes, you see a plane up in the air.
Oh.
How long was every plane needed to be grounded? A week?
Yeah, a week.
It was a week. Okay.
Yeah. But come back to what Mike had said, Mike Brenly said about his dad. You know, bringing it over, saying, hey, listen, come here. Come to this game.
Yeah.
Come to this scene. For a dad, that's a tough decision.
It is a tough
decision. Even though he's in the World Series.
But let's be honest. And that is a lot to weigh. And that's kind of why I tried to word the question the way I did, where it's like everyone wanted you to lose.
That was a great question.
But it's
though.
A weird feeling, right? Where it's like the whole country wants you to lose. And yet you're paying. But you're going to New York and you're paying your respects. But then people want you to lose. So it had to be a weird, weird feeling. And as a kid. Again, 14 is a unique age where you're, as a baseball fan, it's your whole life. Baseball is your whole life. But then you're trying to grasp a terrorist attack that happened not far from the team that you're playing in the World Series. I think one of the key things that stuck out to me that he said was smelling still the burning. And it really was recent.
But once again, that's an example of –
It had been less than 2 months since the attacks.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
it was a month. You know, a month and a half. But it was. But to that point, that's what I'm talking about. Is that even then, a month and a half later, going to New York City was not a normal situation.
And they went. So they all went to Ground Zero. Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Which would make sense that they would all take the trip.
And also, and you have the good point about 14. 14 is a sweet spot. Number one, 14, you understand what's going on. And as you can hear, Mike, and that'll be up on WEI.com a little bit later, that audio file. We hear Mike Brenly talk about this as a 14-year-old, and he can fully grasp what's going on and remember all these things and how impactful that is. And he had the firefighter's helmet now. But also, you know, the perspective that he had wasn't just, hey, 14-year-old son, here's your ticket, now go in the stands.
Yeah.
He's talking about in the runway, in the tunnel, behind the scenes, with the Secret Service, with President Bush, what that whole scene was like.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a 30-for-30 short or what it was, but there was a documentary I watched just based on the first pitch that George Bush threw. And it doesn't matter if you're a Sox fan, if you're, you know, anyone, any competitor of the Yankees, a Mets fan, that moment doesn't, again, politically, it doesn't matter either. It's about what that stands for. Your president goes out there after what happened, like you mentioned, a month and a half prior, throws a perfect pitch, which, by the way, there's no way I thought. I remember at 11, I was like, I don't know, like, let's see what this pitch looks like. And he kind of looks around and then throws a great pitch.
You know what also was badass about it was his reaction.
Oh, it was great.
Like, if I threw a...
You would have been dancing.
If anybody throws that pitch, like he said, the backdoor two-seamer,
With a huge jacket on.
If anyone does that, they're at least giving the fist pump.
Oh.
He's just like, yeah, you know... You know, take that, Bin Laden.
It's,
you know,
again, like, yeah, serious. But that's essentially what it was like. It's like he gave off kind of an FU vibe, you know, to the terrorists, which is kind of what you're supposed to do in that moment. That again, like I say, that was not a political thing. Regardless of what side you're on, that was just a really cool moment for the country, which it's very rare that we have those that we can kind of all get behind. It's like the World Cup. Like you need. Or whatever, like the Team USA and, you know, hoops that wins the gold. Like, it's very rare that we all root for the same thing. And that moment was really cool. The insight was awesome that Brunley gave.
It was. And like you said, you can go to WEI.com a little bit to get that audio file. But you said, like, this isn't a political thing. To understand, like, how much this brought everybody together. And I think I heard Mego and Fitzy talk about this. Is that it would be nice to have that mentality that we're all together when, you know, obviously that isn't the situation for the last few years. But... You know, I think George Bush's approval rating was like at 80-something%. I mean, it was crazy because of exactly that. And I'm not making a political statement. All I'm saying, like, George Bush was awesome at that moment.
He was the best right there, dude.
But it's like everybody was in there together, and nobody was going to say, oh my goodness, that president, get him off the mound.
I know,
he can't throw out the first pitch.
I'm trying to think back, and if I remember correctly, Rob, as an 11-year-old Red Sox fan, I'm still pretty sure I was, like, totally fine with the Yankees winning that World Series.
Were you really?
Well, just because of what it meant. Yeah. Also, growing up at that age, you just assumed they would win it every year because that's what they did.
Yeah.
Like, they were on that stretch where they had a chance. What with that one to win four in a row?
And you also said that Byung-Young Kim, the Red Sox better get him one day.
Why is he BK Kim? I've always asked that.
I don't know.
Makes no sense. Shouldn't it be like BH Kim? Anyway. It is interesting, right? Because then what? The home team wins every game in that series.
Yeah, it was a great World Series.
It really was. Who hit the flare? Was it Womack?
No, it wasn't Womack.
It was Luis Gonzalez, right? That hit the flare? Blanking on who hit the walk-off flare?
No, Craig Counsell was the Marlins.
I thought it was Luis Gonzalez. I'm going to find that out. That's the tease. We're going to tell you who walked off Mariano Rivera.
If there was only a way to find this out.
I think it was Gonzalez with a flare and then Womack scores.
All right, before we go to a break, let's go to Jeff in Watertown. Hey, Jeff, thanks for hanging on,
What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, guys, you know, I've been humbled because I was going to talk about the Red Sox pennant race, and then after this conversation, it doesn't seem to be that important right now. So, you know, it was Luis Gonzalez that hit
that's right.
And the thing that I remember is that my wife called me at work to tell me first that they thought it was an accident, you know, small plane. And then she called me again to say we're under attack. And I turn on the radio in my my room, and it's on EEI. And it's just the first thing I hear is Lenny Clark talking to Dennis and Callahan. He was down there doing something, filming something or preparing for something. And so the first person that I heard describing what had happened was, you know, with Lenny Clark of all people. And it's like, it's just the weirdest thing. So like, I always remember that. And I was just, and then EEI was just unbelievable.
Yeah, Jeff, I was going to say that, you know, and I'll let you go on in a second here, yeah. But you know, so back then, you know, sports radio was sports radio. Like, yeah. It was, you did not really integrate politics into it at all. But then when this happened,
kids.
Yeah, yes, let me tell you, gather around the Philco. but this was a case. Obviously, there's nothing else you can talk about. Nothing else you can talk about. And what I remember, I wasn't involved in EEI then, but what I remember was them shifting gears to exactly what you're talking about so expertly. Like, it was really, really impressive. And believe me, that is not easy to do, because we've had, not to that level, but you have different situations. I've been on the air where there have been mass shootings and things like that. It is hard to do. And that, the station, and like you said, Jeff, I mean, I think that everybody will remember what EEI did during that time.
Well, you know what was great about it was that, you know, the whole vibe of the station at that time was like the neighborhood bar kind of mentality, like your friends, it's a big show, people drop in, talk sport. And it was just, and I remember, like, I would flip over to like CNN or flip over to NPR or something, and it wouldn't have that same kind of warmth. They were news professionals. And I really think what EEI brought to it was just that sense of like, your buddies, like you're just your people, and like you can even joke a little bit. Like it was just a very different vibe, and it was so important. And it was just, you know, Glenn Ordway was, there was just, everybody was, you know, Dennis and Callahan were phenomenal. Everybody was phenomenal, and so that was a really, really important time, and it's just, you know, the station really shined, and I was rooting for the Yankees.
I think there's a difference, Jeff. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. There's a difference between rooting for the Yankees and being okay with them winning, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was okay
that,
with
that
them.
That would
winning.
Be more what I would say. I was okay with them winning. I thought they would win, and I thought it would be a great statement, yeah. You know, but
really the game of baseball was a real winner, Jeff. Okay, Jeff, right. Jeff, before you take off, because you're a Hall of Fame caller, I do want you to get off your chest whatever you want to get off your chest, Red Sox wise or baseball wise or anything that's been gnawing at you, that you know that Live BP is the only place that you can really, really have a pointed conversation about this.
One is Jose Abreu. The Red Sox always were interested in him. At different times they tried to get him, and I've always liked him. And I just feel like he was just one of those, he's just one of those solid baseball guys that maybe doesn't get enough attention, but when he hit the 3-run homer last night, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm going to lose this game. And then the other thing is that, just, you know, we spent 6 months. This is why baseball is a pastime, because we spent 6 months talking about this team. And yet the first thing we said in March, I think all three of us agreed, is that the Red Sox were good enough to contend at least for a wild card. There was going to be mayhem at the end of the last couple of weeks. It's going to come down the last couple of weeks. All these teams are going to be involved. It's going to remind us of 67. And it's exactly what's happening. Like, you're losing, but then you're saying other teams are losing. So you feel a little bit better. Like, okay, you know, well, at least we didn't lose ground. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I think Jeff,
and you're right where you thought we were going to be.
Jeff, really, and thanks. Yeah?
Thanks for the call, Jeff. As always, Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Hall of Famer. I mean, I think the only thing where maybe went awry, we thought, oh, hey, it's going to be an awesome 4-team race. It's really a 3-team race, but still, and we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to be with you all the way up in the first pitch. The Live BP show goes to about 6 o'clock. Then we'll take over the pregame show. Steve Peralt, Rob Bradford. We'll talk a lot about where they are, the standings, what the latest news with the Red Sox is. Steve Peralt has a trending, but first I want to let you know this hour is sponsored by McFarland Energy and their new home oil customer incentives at McFarlandEnergy.com. Oh, Steve's looking around like he does not have a trending. Do we have a trending, Stiz? No? Okay.
We will.
We should have had one. I will effort.
Okay,
that.
We will. All Everyone's right. waiting for the trending,
well,
so we're going
to Well, have. I do know some things, so we can patch one together. But once again, thank you to Mike Brenly for calling in, bullpen catcher of the Boston Red Sox, son of Bob Brenly, who obviously the father and son went through all the situation with the 2001 World Series in New York. Offered great insight. Once again, WEI.com to check that out. We're going to have a lot of baseball talk coming up next 2.5 hours, but first, we're going to trend.
Mac Jones joins Merlone and Fourier every Patriots Monday.
Now here's what's trending on
WEEI.
It's all you. All right. It's all you. You all said right. You got some things that are
sure.
Trending.
I got some things.
What do we got?
All right. Red Sox take on the White Sox once again. Connor Siebold is getting the start. Major League debut.
How do we? We're obviously going to break it down, but how do we expect it to go?
Well, first of all, we are going to. I think we are in agreement. This is a little bit. We were in agreement before the show. I think we want to replay at least part of the Connor Siebold interview that we did.
I'm fine with replaying.
I think
it.
People want to hear about Connor or from Connor Siebold.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because I feel like in my brain, I just got all the notes for the trending. It just, whoa, it just like programmed right into me.
Excellent.
Red Sox.
Well, one thing, I want to make sure that one thing's in trending that we have discovered is Matt Barnes, who obviously is coming back from COVID. Is that in trending? Just take a quick perusal of that. Is Matt Barnes' name there?
No.
All right, that's why I knew. So Matt Barnes is going to go to Worcester tomorrow, get some throwing in to get ready to come back. So he'll have one day in the minor league.
And he's going
to
get rocked. The Red Sox dropped the first of three to the White Sox. 4-3, Tanner Houck went 3 2/3, giving up 4 runs. What an interesting year. I would love to talk about Tanner Houck after the break.
We will.
Very interesting season for him. Game 2 of their series against the White Sox is tonight. First pitch, 7:10 Eastern Standard Time. Pregame is at 6:10. That will be with myself, Steve Peralt, and Rob Bradford. You can hear the game right here across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all 6 New England states. The AL wildcard race is on fire, Rob. After wins last night, the Mariners and Athletics are now one game back of the second wildcard spot, which is the New York Yankees. The Blue Jays and Yankees both lost to the... the Jays remain a half game back of that second wild card spot. After missing practice on Thursday, both Nelson Aguilar and Jalen Mills were limited in Friday's practice. Both are limited as questionable, listed as questionable, heading into tomorrow's Week 1 contest against the Miami Dolphins. I am so excited that football is back. The Revolution hosts New York City FC at Gillette Stadium tonight at 7 p.m. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball, point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
All right, this is Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Ron Bradford, along with Steve Peralt. Section 10 podcast, Bleacher Report. We just had Mike Brenly on, and we also had Jeff from Watertown call on in. And Connor Siebold is on the mound today, replacing Chris Sale, who came down with COVID. I am 2 for 2 in doing live in-person interviews, and then the person getting COVID a few days later.
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
I saw your tweet, and it was a good tease. It was, I believe you said something along the lines of, you're going to wake up to a fiery interview from Chris Sale. And I was like,
impactful interview.
Here I am thinking for a split second that you meant you're going to wake up to some news about Chris Sale that you are not going to like, and that's that he has COVID.
No, that didn't come till later.
No, I know. But no. I saw your tweet, and then, because I sleep as much as I possibly can. My average get-up time is like 10:30, and it's wonderful. I would advise more people to do it if you can, if you don't have kids. But I saw your tweet, and then I felt bad because I was like, oh, you definitely had a Chris Sale interview that dropped like right around when he got COVID, right?
Well, no, I had a little bit of a gap.
Window.
Because I got that. I posted that at like 6 a.m., and then the COVID news came out.
I'm sure you're not pumped at that.
Nah, well, you know, honestly, my first reaction was I did an in-person interview with him 2 days before.
Oh, that was in person?
Yeah, it was in person. And and
I thought that was like a phoner or something.
No, no. So I had done an in-person interview a few weeks before with Kike Hernandez 3 days before he got COVID.
Yeah.
Now, before everyone starts screaming and yelling.
You did have the COVID at one point.
I had COVID. I've been vaccinated, so forth and so on. But before everyone's screaming and yelling.
Stop screaming, everyone.
When we do these interviews, they are outside. I have a mask on. You know, so it is what it is. I wasn't too worried. And also, I've been tested recently. But so I'm not patient zero. But it was like, oh, really? Really? Another one? Yeah. Really? But the whole premise of my article with Chris Sale, and Chris Sale, listen, like every time you get him for an interview,
it's awesome.
Never disappoints.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to him about leadership in baseball, and he was great. He had a great line about, I don't think they're going to like be etching my face in the stone anytime soon to honor my speeches.
World Series one, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he got a couple good more speeches. Like, it is undoubtedly. He's undoubtedly the leader of the clubhouse, the leader of that team.
Hey,
and my point,
like Rob said, a couple good more speeches, and you never know.
A couple
what's
good more
happen.
Speeches, absolutely. But we talked a little bit about that, how rare that is. How rare that is, number one, to have basically a singular voice in a baseball clubhouse of like, this is the guy. Ortiz was that way, but it is not the norm for a baseball team, and especially not the norm when you're talking about a starting pitcher for the baseball team, because usually the starting pitchers are their own entity. But he had a great point. He said, yeah, you know, I kind of used to think that way as well, but now I put that aside because it's not just that one day of pitching. It's everything I do in the days leading up to that. I'm working just as hard as anybody else, and they can see that I'm working just as hard as everybody else. And so I get that.
Yeah.
You can be a voice voice.
I'm going to do one of my favorite things and steal a point of someone else's and just call it my own. But I'm giving him credit. Lenny DiNarno, Live BP alum, said something on the pregame show that I fully agree with, that I think it's a weird concept to think the starter can't be a motivational voice. It makes kind of sense if you think about it. He only pitches once every 5 days. He has a lot of time to be a voice in the clubhouse, you know, on the in the dugout to the players, you know, on the field and you know, warming up and all that. So Chris Sale has time to be that guy, especially now that he's back. And then he gets COVID, which is like, this has just been. It's been such a nightmare trying to figure out.
Yeah, we're 45 minutes in, and that was the first time COVID has actually
been
uttered.
Impressive. I think we hit the over, which is good. No, but my point that I stole, I think that a starter does have a lot of time to be the voice and to be the guy that's the leader and the vocal leader and the veteran leader. And Chris Sale's in the position to do it. I'm glad that he's doing it. And obviously his voice carries some weight. And I know people have said this too, but of course it helps that he, during his rehab, was able to talk with these guys, build relationships. And now when they're getting called up because half the team has COVID, he can be a leader that they actually look up to and have a relationship
with.
Well,
this is also an age thing. I mean, we can't ignore that.
Yeah.
It's an age thing. And he said it when he got dropped in with the Red Sox. He's called it more of a veteran team. It still wasn't a hugely veteran team, but it was a lot of guys that had been around a while.
Even the rotation, right, with Porcello, Price.
Well, that's basically the two guys that he mentioned was Price and Porcello. They'd already been there, as he points out. They had done more. They had been to higher peaks in their career. And so he gets dropped, and as good as he is, he's still in his 20s, right? He's still in his 20s. And so now he emerges 2 years after we last saw him, and he's 32 years old, and you name the guys in their 30s on this team. You have J.D. Martinez. You have Chris Sale.
Vasquez
is just 30, right?
Yeah, 30, 31, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not a
Pilecki,
lot.
There's not many.
No. And so people say, well, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. This is why that 2013 team worked, because they had a bunch of guys in their 30s who were secure in their own skin, their own existences. And so that's what Chris Hale is. He's like, I feel more comfortable now doing what I'm doing, walking in the middle of the clubhouse, doing the Rudy on the stool thing that I certainly did a couple years ago before I got hurt. And I think that, you know, that came out in his interview. And unfortunately for the Red Sox, the curse of the Rob Bradford interview struck again, and he is not available. And so that leads us to Connor Seabold, who's starting today. And we want to note, at just after 5 o'clock, we're the only baseball show, the only station, the only radio station in the entire country to have interviewed Connor Seabold in the last month, maybe in the last year. Okay?
Yeah.
We interviewed Connor Seabold on the Live BP show a couple weeks ago. So we do want to play that after the 5 o'clock hour, because I think people want to hear his mindset, certainly back then, but I think it transfers to exactly what he's thinking right now, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the I fully agree, and we're going to play that after the 5 o'clock hour, but I'm very excited about the Connor Seabold interview that we're going to play. But, Rob, I'm looking at the roster, the 40-man, and I believe there's only 5 players on here that were born in the 80s, which is essentially, what, 31 and older. So, yeah, Chris Sale's in that list. Obviously, you have Plawecki, I think, is barely 30. Vasquez, I believe, is right in that zone. There's not many. Ottavino, there's not many guys.
Ottavino's the other one, yeah.
Yeah, Ottavino and Brazier. But there's not many guys that are in that position.
But think about that. So Ottavino almost can't, because usually when you're dropped into a team for the first year, you can't.
Also, Ottavino is such an interesting soul that, yes, I don't know if he would be the vocal leader. He'd start talking about stuff. They're like, what are you saying?
Right.
What?
If someone needed to figure out the square root of pi, he would be the guy.
He'd be the guy. If that was preventing them from hitting 300, then he would fix that problem. But no, I mean, you go down the list, it is kind of funny. There are times, and I've noticed it even at my jobs, where like all of a sudden you're like the veteran. It's like, whoa, it's weird, because you just kind of keep your head down, you grind, and then that's kind of what Chris Sale was doing. He was doing that in the rehab assignment. He was doing that, you know, when he was actually on the mound for the Red Sox. And now I think he's kind of looking, you can kind of sense it in the pressers too. I feel like he's kind of looking around like, oh, I am the guy. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's like now the veteran guy, because I know we mentioned Price and Porcello, but they had obviously been here for a little while. You know, Porcello got a Cy Young. David Price, obviously an accomplished pitcher that I didn't like that much, but he was here. He was signed in 15. So those guys have been there
for a
little
bit. That's the weird thing, going back to the leadership dynamic, which is Porcello was undoubtedly a leader. Everybody knew he was a leader.
And he carried himself like that.
Right.
Which is what matters.
Right. So people, like you said, not everyone liked David Price. Not everyone got along with David Price, especially in the media. But
players seemed to, though, right?
Well,
he didn't seem to have a lot of players that didn't like him.
No, but toward the end, I think it was turned a little bit.
Yeah.
But when he joined the Red Sox, I had never talked to more people that said he's the best teammate you'll ever have.
Price.
And a lot of guys who were on the Red Sox said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It was a very weird dynamic where David Price was a good teammate. He was the guy going out there watching you throw the bullpen sessions and giving you the robes and buying you the scooters, right? But at the same time, I would make the argument, when he got into the thing with Eck, you know, that was the opposite of being a good teammate, because he's saying, I was just doing it for Eduardo Rodriguez, because he said, yuck. No, you weren't. Now what is happening? Now everybody is asking everybody in this clubhouse about that situation because of what you did.
Also, Eck has a high approval rating. I would not. That whole situation was interesting. That was not the time, not the place for Price. And I think if he were to go back, he probably would have tweaked that a little bit. But I do wonder, from David Price's perspective, if a big part of why the players look up to him is because he's the guy that'll bite back at the media a little bit, because he's the guy that's not really, quote unquote, doesn't take BS from the media, even though I think there are times he went out of his way to be kind of a jerk to the media.
Maybe, but I know that also there was also times where he would bite back in the media and there would be some eye rolling.
Yeah, no, you know? I know. But I think a lot of the eye rolling, and I'm, you know, you're part of the media, and especially at that point, I'm sure you guys, it goes both ways, right? It's not like you guys loved being a part of all of that. It's like, David, we're doing our job. You do your job. I do wonder to what degree the other players looked at that and were like, all right, like he's, quote unquote, got our back because he's willing to bite back.
Well,
meeting.
That, I mean, the Eck thing was a perfect example of that.
That was like a weird situation.
Well, we could have, like, I could have said, like, this is science. Look at what you're doing. You're saying you're being a good teammate, yet everybody in this clubhouse is being asked who clapped on the plane.
Yeah.
Like that, and that, so that is not good for the team.
No, it's not. And that's, you know, the all-encompassing thing. But I don't think Rick Porcello had any of those moments. He led by example, and he was a vocal leader as well. Go down the line, right? 16, he was the most consistent starter they had. He wins the Cy Young, all the whatever with Verlander. I think Porcello deserved the Cy Young. But 18 obviously played a huge role in that team as well. And then you have Chris Sale being on those clubs, being friends with Porcello and Price. I never really knew how close they were, what the dynamic was with that rotation, but they seemed like they all liked each other.
Yeah, no, I think they did.
Yeah. And so I'm sure Sale saw a lot of that, and that rubbed off on him. He's like, I got to be that guy now.
Another thing with Sale is that he says the right things.
Yeah.
Like, he says the right things in the media. He says the right things, obviously, in the clubhouse. And Tanner Houck said this in the piece that I wrote. He's like, when this guy walks in the room, you know, if he talks, he's talking for a purpose.
He doesn't waste words.
No.
Which a lot of people do.
You know what's interesting? So it's Mookie Betts is a guy who, great guy. And
quiet guy.
And also he said, I did this interview with him after 2006, after Ortiz left.
Yeah.
And he said, this was about in June. He's like, you know what? I got to be more of a leader because everything passed through David. We discounted how much that was a big, big thing. So I felt like Mookie was always trying to be a leader, always trying to be the guy. But at some point you are who you are. And I remember he went to the Dodgers last year. And one of the first days of spring training, evidently he got in front of the room and he gave this big speech, which Joe Kelly later called cringeworthy, right? In a friendly way.
But, I don't even know if I heard that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. He's like, listen, like me, he's like, me and David Price are looking at each other like we know this guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't meaning like maliciously, I mean, but he was just saying, Mookie is who he is, and he's not going to be the Chris Sale in the middle of the clubhouse.
But that's why I think at the end of the day, I don't know why there's been this stigma of like, oh, the starters can't be the vocal leader.
I think it's the makeup of the guy.
It doesn't matter what his position is.
The answer to that is the clubhouse is such a segmented thing.
Yes, well, especially now.
Yeah.
And we talk about Sale as the veteran guy and, you know, the veteran voice. A lot of times that kid that just got his new car, the young player that just got like a new whip and has, you know, the fancy jewelry and all that, doesn't really give a damn about what the guy in his 30s is saying because he got there by, quote unquote, by himself. That young, I don't even know what player I'm talking about. I'm talking in hypotheticals. But still, like when you're coming up, you know, from the minors and you're a big deal and you perform at a high level. I think with the Rays, Wander Franco is a great example. I do wonder what his relationship was like with the Nelson Cruz or some of the older players on that team, which they don't seem to have much of as well. The Rays are a pretty young team, too, because they can't keep anybody. So I understand.
That's why they get Nelson Cruz.
No, I know. No, I'm saying that, like, it's interesting when you have someone like that because there's no guarantee. There's never any guarantee that that guy is going to work as the voice for the younger players. And especially now, there's no guarantee the younger players are going to give a damn about what you have to say.
Listen, I got to get to my Instagram. I got to get to my brand. I got to do that. I mean, it's a completely different dynamic.
Bradfo 33 or something?
Who knows?
You
got to
promote your stuff, man. Come on. We're on national
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you to promote your Instagram.
Oh, okay.
It's a great IG.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you're like, whatever.
I did do a story the other day.
Yeah, yes, it was good. It's a lot of selfies and then what phone do you have, by the way?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, we got to get a newer version, whatever it is. The camera stinks.
617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. As we said before, we have the only Connor Siebold interview ever done, perhaps. but we're going to be replaying that after the top of the hour. That was done a couple of weeks ago. But Connor Siebold, in case you don't know, he's starting tonight. He's going to offer a lot of insight as you watch him tonight. You're going to be like, I'm really glad I get to know him a little bit in the live BP show.
Got some fun facts on the radio beforehand.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. This is a live BP show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralta. Be back right after this.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Go behind the scenes and follow us on Instagram at WEEI Sports.
What's your ultimate game day experience? A tricked out man cave? Deluxe tailgate? Then enter the 5-Hour Energy Football Sweepstakes for a chance to win $10,000. And make your ultimate game day experience a reality. To enter, buy any 5-Hour Energy product and upload the receipt. It's that easy. The 5-Hour Energy Football Sweepstakes. Enter today.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 and a legal resident of the U.S. Ends December 10th, 2021. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit 5hesport.com. Void where prohibited.
Hey, it's Rich Keefe. The summer of can is here. And since we finally can, let's make it a premium summer. Fancy sausage at the barbecue, a full theater for camping, a fully gold bathing suit at the pool, because Heineken is made with premium malt in their famous A yeast. So go premium with the crisp, ice-cold can of Heineken. Pick up a pack or get it delivered and put the can back into summer. That can be your six-pack. The summer of can is here. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Please drink responsibly.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses and automatically adjusts to keep you both effortlessly comfortable. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss the final days of the biggest sale of the year, where all smart beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Lock into a lower mortgage rate at Eagle Bank, a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage with a 2.473 annual percentage rate. Whether you're looking for a new home this fall or you want to refinance to a shorter term and pay off your mortgage sooner, Eagle Bank is here to help you make it happen. Apply online at bankeagle.com or call Eagle Bank's residential lending team and find out how to lock in 15 years fixed 2.473 APR with 0 points today. Of course, we have other fixed and adjustable mortgage rates and terms available, but right now, the 15-year fixed 2.473 APR with 0 points is one of our best. So don't wait. Apply online at bankeagle.com today. Call 617-387-5110 for more information and details about credit costs and terms.
Eagle Bank.
Interest rates subject to change at any time without notice. Offers may be withdrawn at any time without notice. APR based on 20% down payment subject to credit approval. Underwriting standards apply. Other terms and conditions may apply. Eagle Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 440604.
Running a business comes with pressure. Remote workforces, HR compliance, attaining top talent. You start to feel boxed in. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of HR service and technology to work, offering my employees competitive benefit options while lightening my HR load. Instead of obstacles, I'm surrounded by people empowered to be their best. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Insperity. HR that makes a difference.
It's back to school time, and to help you get educated on WinDonation, they're offering a scholarship for higher savings during WinDonation's back to school sale. Right now, get 2 free windows for every 2 you buy, wood or vinyl styles. Buy 4, get 4 free. There's no limit. With all the money you'll be saving, you can use it towards your kids' books, clothes, backpacks, shoes, or even treat yourself. Call 866-90NATION or visit WinDonation.com. That's 866-90NATION or WinDonation.com.
Town Fair Tire is New England's largest name brand discount tire dealer with over 600,000 tires in stock. So we sell Toyo tires at prices that can't be beat. We guarantee it. Plus, when you buy your new set of Toyo tires at Town Fair, we always give you the most free services. For the guaranteed lowest price on Toyo tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. And I mean nobody.
Name brands at discount prices.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, ball net, net, ball net.
Done. With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away.
All right, here we go. Live BP baseball show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Perrault, Section 10 podcast from Bleacher Report. We're taking you all the way up to first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
The show officially ends at, I guess, around 6, but we're going to take over. Everyone loves when we take over the pregame show. Loves it.
They get super excited.
Loves it.
It's a little bit of sizzle on the pregame show, let me tell you.
All right, so far we had a great interview with Mike Brenly, bullpen catcher for the Red Sox.
Dude, I love to just hang out with Brenly.
Yeah, like we were talking about, like he was bullpen catcher for the Red Sox, but also he was a 14-year-old when he was right in the middle of the post-September 11th stuff, the World Series, 2001 World Series, where his dad, Bob Brenly, was the manager. So I'm just like, honestly, Steve, like he kind of blew me away. Like I didn't think he would be that good and that insightful. Number one, he's a good interview because his words mean something, as you point out. But also, he had a great recollection for a 14-year-old. Let's be honest.
I think, see, that is a specific age. When I was 14, my biggest thing that I remember was going to Yankee Stadium as well. My dad brought us to Game 2 of the ALCS, the Who's Your Daddy game. And those memories are vivid. That's the stuff that you remember. You remember walking around the streets and people yelling at you. That's why I was very curious of his take on what the city was like and the vibes around the city. And he had a really good way of kind of painting the picture. And, again, talking about how you could still smell the burning and like that is crazy. It's understandable because again you're less than 2 months out from the attacks, but you know that firsthand experience and that firsthand storytelling, which is what he was doing, was really good. And again, he's awesome, and it reminds me of how I really want to build more relationships with these people in person, because I only know Brenly over like Zoom. We had him on Section 10 a year ago and we talked to him here, and it really kills me when we can't be able to you know build these. And even last weekend, I think for the Sunday, in theory, I could have gone down there, but it's like now you have a COVID outbreak, and it's just, you know, it's another layer.
And again, we've only mentioned that the second time we mentioned COVID.
My goal is to mention it 20 times.
My greatest achievements in my professional career is getting through the first hour mentioning COVID only twice.
We didn't do any COVID segments the first hour.
No.
So props to us.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's a big part of the whole story. As we know, Chris Sale down with COVID, Jonathan Aruz down with COVID. Or on the COVID list anyway. The news is Matt Barnes seems like he's basically one Worcester appearance away from returning. You have Bogaerts returning last night. Nick Pivetta seems like he's probably going to pitch tomorrow. Is that
right? Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, so
the latest, at least, is that.
Yeah, so you have guys coming back. And I'll go back to, you know, I wrote a little bit about this morning. The quote from Cora that struck me before the game yesterday was, he's like, September's supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking you're thinking about it, and you're sitting there, and you have the top wild card spot. You know, you're still ahead of these other three or four teams. You should, and you're at 80 wins, by the way, which is the over-under, right? You hit the over. You're going to hit the over.
Yeah.
And so,
unless they go defeated the rest of the way.
So this isn't 2018, where 2018, you know, you're basically like, at this point, you're like cruising on in.
Yeah. If you're still on board right now with the Red Sox, welcome, by the way. I have not left.
Welcome to the Live BP
Welcome
show.
To the Live BP show. I'm Steve Perrault. That's Rob Bradford, WEEI Hall of Famer. It's been an interesting ride, to say the least, the Red Sox season. Obviously, if you want to just break it down, pre-July, post-July, I think is kind of the best way to draw a line in the sand if you're going to look at two different types of years. But what they're dealing with right now is it's a lot. It's a lot, Rob. You're trying to get through a lot of guys going down on COVID. You're trying to hold off four teams that are trying to come for that top wildcard spot to host that game. But I still try to look at it. I'm trying to look at it glass half full, Rob.
I know you are.
Where I'm trying to look at it.
God bless your soul.
Kind of like, you know, some fans have alluded to, and like Jeff in Watertown alluded to, where this is a playoff race. You got four teams, again, going for that top spot. Red Sox are a game up on the Yankees, who have been absolutely miserable and lost seven in a row. Then you got the Jays, the A's, and the Mariners right there. And not even just right there, like technically. A lot of times we have the wild card standings in September, like Cora had alluded to, where it gets kind of crazy and all that, and you have teams that are still in the race, but they're like four games out. You're not really in the race. You have five teams that are separated by two games. So this is a legitimate dance here, and I've enjoyed following along. Obviously, it takes some of the sizzle out when you have half your team get COVID. Yes, I understand that, but if you can get over these humps, in theory, you should be in a better place.
The good news is that this isn't 2011 where they fall apart. This isn't, you know, 1978 where they fell apart.
I was going to say that. Yep.
I mean, this isn't September.
This
isn't
1882.
You're feeling uncomfortable. This isn't '08
where they didn't exist.
This isn't,
all right,
yes.
The team exists.
So,
okay?
But this isn't these years where you're in September and you're in the middle of a pennant race and you're feeling like uncomfortable about things like you feel uncomfortable now. This is a completely different situation, something that none of us have ever been through with the COVID thing and everything else. But all of that said, you're still treading water until you get to that Baltimore series. That's all you need to do. You know, that's all you need to do. As I wrote, the outboard has broken down. You're getting out the paddles. It's okay. You can still move forward.
Oh, 100%. And I did a live BP 60 and was kind of breaking down the last 23 games on the Red Sox schedule. And all they really had to do was go 14-9. And I have to recheck that to where they're at. They're going to have to win a lot of games coming up here. But they've only won one since then. I believe they're 1-4 since then. So they got to go 13-5 to finish out, which is still not asking a ton considering what the rest of the schedule is. Going into it, I was saying if you split, like you mentioned, in terms of getting out of this nine-game stretch alive, if you can just split, I know it's literally impossible to split nine games, but be 4-5 or 5-4 coming at it at Seattle series, you're fine. But you're going to have to win a couple games here. You're going to have to...
Yes, winning is important.
No, but if you don't win this Chicago series, you essentially are going to have to
sweep.
Are
you saying this is must-win Saturday?
No, but it's not far from it. And the tough part is that it's not far from a must-win with a guy making his major league debut.
Well, speaking of that guy, so just because we take pride in the Get to Know You segments here on Live
and I think we're really good at it.
Yeah, we are.
Getting the cool stuff.
If someone makes a major league debut, we are going to be the one who introduces that person via the only interview they've done in the last year. And Connor Siebold joined Live BP a couple weeks ago, and Connor Siebold is starting tonight, making his major league debut. So you will hear, after this break, the Connor Siebold interview. The Connor Siebold interview.
A little Chris Sale talk in there. It's going to be one of those, like, turn back the page a little bit where you see him talking about not getting too ahead of himself with the call-up, and now you're going to get to lead that in, Rob, to first pitch. It's just the perfect transition to first pitch. That's what we do. We get you to first pitch.
Scratching right where everyone itches.
Yes.
617-779-7937 to call in after the Siebold interview. This is the Live BP Show. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Steve Perrault. We'll be back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.